This is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. I have a little introduction for each of the readings. The Old Testament reading is written in Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. The background for this is Moses is approaching the end of his life, and he talks to the Israelites, and he puts before them a choice. Either choose life and good or death and evil. And as God's people, as Christians today, we have a similar choice, don't we? God's life-giving Spirit is the one who breathes life into us and blessing into our hearts and lives. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is Paul's shortest letter in Scripture. It's Philemon. It's one chapter. And it's to Philemon, his friend. And he's writing him about one of Philemon's runaway slaves, or a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. Paul had gotten to know him in prison, and he had been a help to Paul and very dear to him. I'm going to say more on this in the message. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us, for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the heart of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. The Holy Gospel really talks to us about the cost of discipleship, and each of you really counted that cost as you came through the rain and the dreary morning to be here to worship the one who gave his life for us, our Savior Jesus. Jesus instructs us about this idea of discipleship. He tells the disciples they must be willing to love their families less. That's really the idea behind hate. Less than they love him, to be willing to sacrifice for him. Now, great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me, he does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Salt is good, and if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use, either for the soul or for the manure pile. It's thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord.